Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And welcome to the Rampage Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to review everything that happened on Friday night's episode of This Rampage, baby. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a mega quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett. Michael Sidgwick still enjoying some well-earned time off, no doubt reading his brilliant book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, which is available right now on Amazon. But anyway, we're here to review.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number.
Yeah, baby. I don't want to start this review on a sour note, but they have given up on Rampage, haven't they? Like, it was a fun watch, but it's not any more appointment viewing, is it?
Yeah, there was a point, right? This is jumping out at the middle of the review, but it's, you know, it's Rampage. QT Marshall was the second person this week to make pretty much the same joke, where it was like, hey, Cole Carter, like, sleep on it. Sleep on the offer. And that had the opposite effect of what I think it was supposed to have. Because rather than me going, NXT in the mud, AEW point scoring, I was like, oh, I wish this was 2.0, because at least some bollocks would take place next and I'd be interested. Like, yeah, this was, it's the same, like, inessential. People ask, right? And I love that they ask, and I love that we have, like, an engaged audience, and I feel like we're engaging the product and they're engaging the product, and we're all, like, especially when it comes to AEW, and for the most part, people understand that, like, our criticisms are in the best possible faith because we hold it to the highest standard. People ask sometimes, and they mean it in the nicest possible way, oh, like, NXT 2.0, like, it's terrible, that, like, review Dark and Dark Elevation. I've started watching Dark and Dark Elevation recently. I quite enjoy it. I was liking it more when I wasn't so keen on Dynamite because it was so formula that it couldn't really go wrong. Here's a star. Here's a jobber. They're going to pad their stats now with a win. Have I said that right? Pad their stats with a win, and you're going to get to see 5 minutes and a finisher, right? And these people that you don't otherwise see on, you know, like Anthony Gogan in commentary as well. And like just people in places that you would like to see more than Dynamite, but the roster feels very big at the moment. Not everybody can get a chance. But it's hard to review it because it's a series of squash matches. That's what it is. So it's like, you would recap the match and you would say, oh, describe the moves they were done. And I would go, yep, all those things happened. There's nothing really to analyze, right?
Yeah.
Rampage isn't that format. And yet is increasingly feeling like that. You're going to describe the events of four matches here, and there's so little to go off for the bulk of it, right? For the bulk of it. And, like, I understand that it's taped and you've got an audience that has already seen the meat of what they bought the ticket for, and they've kind of already had, to use one of your favourite analogies, like, they've already had the dessert and now they're being asked to finish the vegetables and they're full. And, like, off this week's Dynamite, it was a pretty big dessert. You've had a lot of cake and then it's like, right, I know you're, like, you're absolutely bursting full. You look like a Monty Python character where the suit buttons are starting to pop off. Get this broccoli down you. I don't know. Like, I don't want chicken and broccoli because I've just had an entire cheesecake. Thanks very much. And that is happening with such increased regularity that even the bits that are there to sort of service a storyline or tease something on Dynamite... One great bit of booking, and a great way to set up that great bit of booking on this indeed episode. AEW, at its best, is still the best wrestling show by a mile. But on this weekend in particular, and this has happened a few times with Rampage, when other wrestling is going on that is gobbling up the conversation, Rampage kind of, there's that Simpsons gag, isn't there? Like, people were reacting to the Simpsons with sighs. Angry sighs. Like, that's the space that Rampage occupies, because you've got, like, already, you said it, SummerSlam was going to be set up to Ric Flair's last match. You've got the chaos and carnage of Ric Flair's last match. And then SummerSlam goes and SummerSlams itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're days removed, and that's possibly unfair on Rampage, because Rampage came first, but we're days removed on a Monday from the show itself, and it might as well have not existed.
Yeah, I stupidly watched SummerSlam before this.
Oh, no.
And it's never felt more inessential than watching this late on Sunday night, having watched the Lionesses bring football home and SummerSlam, yeah, as you mentioned.
I watched Rampage on a megabus on the way to Leeds to watch my favourite band play two gigs, and Freudian slip there, because I said Bland when I was talking about watching Rampage on a megabus. Made a point for myself there, didn't I? My brain made the point before I could form a sentence. AEW.
Fun start, though. We had a six-man, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, and Sonjay Dutt. Great to see Sonjay Dutt back in a wrestling ring. Versus Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends. On one side, you've got Sonjay Dutt wrestling in a suit. On the other side, you've got Best Friends in tie-dye.
Yeah. Sonjay with a pencil over his ear still, not wanting to commit to this as a proper... Like, he hasn't wrestled since something like 16, 17. And clearly, there enough of him can still go. But keeping the suit on was almost an acknowledgement of, like... I don't want people to remember this. There's some big comeback. Yes. I'm not putting the tights on just yet. And it was in character too, because he was not best pleased that he'd been roped into this match, this trios match. I think this was big picture stuff for AEW to flesh out the brackets of their impending trios tournament. And I think that's why this match existed, right? Because
and it got to a point that you've made on several other podcasts as well by the end of it all.
Well... What? Which particular point in the Satnam
Wardlow's
Singh?
Got friends.
Wardlow's got mates now, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about Satnam Singh being like the next breakout giant.
Well, yeah, that one.
Because otherwise, I had a lot of problems with this match. It was comedically cute, and I've got no issues with that. I love Sonjay with the pencil. Like, I love some of the Orange Cassidy, Satnam Singh stuff. But there is a lot of reasons why people are growing loudly frustrated with trying to understand what the hell Ring of Honor is. Because would you know that Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe have been going at it for like 3 months watching this?
No.
Like this, he's just lost his TV title match after this like enduring rivalry that was, I found it boring, but like they were trying to sell a pay-per-view off it for quite a while. And then it's just like, right, now do a comedy trios match. That Saturday never existed. You're just back in amongst it in your trios thing. Just doesn't feel joined up to it at all. And speaking of not feel joined up, they're on the risk of blowing Orange Cassidy as a main event star again. He cannot be farting around doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm sounding impatient, and it's probably like WWE brain and whatever, and he still comes across like the biggest star in this context. Just don't put him in this context. I don't think it's a bad faith comparison to say this is what people worried about when Becky Lynch was placed with Dana Brooke. Like,
yeah,
you risk diminishing the aura of somebody again, as you do with Orange Cassidy, if you don't take what he currently is seriously. And yet, I think most of this existed just to show you that trios bouts are coming, and you're going to see both these trios in the brackets, and... Nothing more to add. Like, the comedy got in the way of there being any sort of other match here. And my Satnam Singh take is subjective. Like, a lot of people, I don't think, see it in him. He does look
I like Satnam Singh.
I like him too, but I think I like him in the way where... Well, I think the worrying thing is I like him in the way that, like, an old Vince McMahon would like him. Can't wait to see that guy dance. Like, I worry that already, like, I don't think he's going to win world titles by being the next Andre. I think he's going to win dance-offs by being the next great Carly. And, might not go too well. Wardlow... Coming out, the Wardlow Best Friends Association is something I'm a big fan of. It's funny that his first friends are the best friends.
Yes.
There's a cute association there.
Yeah, so Lethal and Trent do the wrestling part of this quite early on. That goes to a stalemate. Lethal wants Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy comes in and wants Satnam Singh, but instead he tags in Dutt, and they do the whole... Sonjay Dutt takes off his jacket and tie and unbuttons his shirt and hands that to the referee, Rick Knox. And then the referee, Rick Knox, gets the shades and the kicks. And there's all the wacky stuff that we get there. Dutt then immediately tags in Satnam Singh. Cassidy goes to do his shtick with him and just gets chucked all over the shop. Running crossbody from Satnam Singh on both the best friends. In comes Lethal. He puts the boots to Cassidy to take us to break. When we come back, Chuck Taylor, Trent Barretta, they hit that soul food half and half combo on Lethal, take out Singh with a double drop kick, knock him off the apron. We finally get the hug they'd sort of tried for earlier on and been cut off. Lethal hits them both with a Lethal injection. Then Orange Cassidy hits a tornado DDT on Lethal. Duck comes in. Duck tries to do the Cassidy kicks, but Cassidy's not having that. JR's head nearly fell off when Duck was doing the kicks as well. He's like, isn't one enough? Breaks his pencil, does Cassidy. Hits Duck with the orange punch. 1, 2, 3. But post-match, in comes Satnam Singh to wreck the best friends. Lethal hits Cassidy with a Lethal injection. The beatdown's on, but who should come out to save the best friends and Orange Cassidy? And Wardlow, of all people.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, they're kind of like repaying the favor, and finally he's got allies and all that kind of thing. That will help long term for him to have these kind of like these people in his life now that can make a difference if he is suddenly outnumbered. Wardlow, as an enemy of the Lethal Dutt Satnam Singh trifecta, is quite smart because you've got in Jay Lethal a guy that can have a pretty great match with him. Sonjay Dutt, a foil that can take some comedic bumps and pratfalls a la Sean Spears alongside MJF.
Uh-huh.
And Satnam Singh in a thing you really want to watch. Like Wardlow, you want to watch that. Wardlow and Satnam, like you want to see if Satnam Singh is going to get Powerbombs Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see this stuff. So it's like, that's good booking. That is good booking. If this trio's match was used as maybe an inessential backdrop to that.
Mm. Then we got a recap of FTR at Death Before Dishonor. I did find it weirdly hilarious that they were like, there we have it, FTR winning at Death Before Dishonor. Who do they face? Winning at Death Before Dishonor. Yeah, but who are they wrestling? Doesn't matter. Don't think about that. We'll barely show a second of the Briscoes, despite the fact they're one of the best tag teams in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for the Briscoes, but I love FTR so goddamn much.
It's a really strange one, isn't it? Because it's hard not to assume that Discovery, Warner Media, whomever, have drawn a very, very, very hard line in the sand over this. Tony Khan was willing to go out and say, I've signed the Briscoes to a Ring of Honor contract. And like, okay, what's a Ring of Honor contract?
Yeah.
Because all your Ring of Honor wrestlers in the most part wrestle on AEW, and Ring of Honor yet doesn't exist outside of two pay-per-views. So what is that? And then, this highlight package continues to add to that. Is what it is. Ian Riccaboni went vouched. I'm not going to get into a Briscoes chat, but like a lot has been said and done that suggests that changes have been made.
Yeah.
But Discovery and Warner Media have got their way, and so be that, I guess.
Then we literally got a match straight out of Dark, basically. It was Ethan Page versus Leon Ruffin. It was a complete squash. Leon Ruffin tried to do the thing that he did before, slipping underneath Ethan Page, but he's learned from that. He hates this place, and Ethan Page hits him with the Ego's Edge crucifix powerbomb for the victory. He's not happy about being here. I know it's obviously the gimmick, but what do you make of it all?
Nothing to the match, and I don't like the gimmick. We've said this before. Don't make it. It's such a slippery slope. And this comes, this Ethan Page squash, and this character, I guess, comes amidst a story that was, you can find it on whatculture.com somewhere, where over the course of like a two-day period, a bunch of AEW wrestlers were just tweeting how unhappy they were with their placement on the card. That's normal. You've got a roster full of wrestlers. There's going to be wrestlers that are unhappy with the place. But taking it to the public forum is very different than just having work grievances that you...
MJF's a different kettle of
fish. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I don't include MJF in this. I think it was Brian Cage and Sonny Kiss.
Yeah,
and
yeah, a couple of others.
Yeah, that's obviously a different gravy. It's so that is something that right now is happening in AEW for real. People are unhappy with their position on the card and within the company. Running an angle, regardless of if there's any sort of realism to it, or it can be, or people can draw the comparison between the two, and AEW knows its audience is plugged in and knows it's unhappy. What's the end goal? Right, Ethan Page isn't going to wrestle Tony Khan at a pay-per-view. So that's like the first sort of obvious problem with this. So he's got to face somebody that represents the authority of AEW, right? Theoretically. Or somebody that is in a more privileged position on the roster. But then, as a fan, you're asking questions. Well, why is that person in a privileged position when the other person isn't? Because if the wins and losses record doesn't back that up, then the whole thing falls down. That's a house of cards, right? And Ethan Page has just won. So he's won a match that is going to help him get up in the rankings. We've been here before, with the men of the year, no less. Like with Scorpio Sky, remember when he couldn't get a title shot? Mm-hmm. I've won 86 million matches in a row. Where, like his British Bulldog walking around wondering, where's my title shot? And it's like, where is it?
Yes,
where
point.
Is your title shot? Yeah, you cannot vindicate a heel questioning the credibility of the authority. WWE did it, and WWE, the brand, will never not be there. Look at Triple H is like in the news at the moment for like, can he make WWE good? That's a 10-year project, really. But like, But what one of the smartest things he did, and I was in these crowds, was have people chanting NXT like it didn't have WWE's initials at the top. People just bought into the principle of NXT being another,
yeah,
a different, you know, I'm sick of this bloody company. I'm going to use its $9.99 a month network to watch another subsidiary product of this company. Like, it, like, Wilborn, that's it. Me and Coca-Cola, we're finished. Hand me that Sprite. That was what it was, to like chant NXT, NXT. They had to do that because nobody will ever chant WWE, and not just because the syllables are a mess, right? Mm. Ask Kurt Angle, WWE. Can't be done. It just, why open these doors? Mm. These are the real forbidden doors. Never open them.
This is when we got the Cole Carter interview where he literally didn't say a word, as far as I'm aware. Mm. QT Marshall starts making comments about the family. And be careful what you say. Being a bit of a wise guy, a bit of a schmuck.
I kind of wanted the family to boister in. For their change, I actually wanted a goddamn interruption.
Nice to see Anthony Ogogo back on my screen. Uh-huh. It's been a while. And yes, he offered Carter a spot in the factory.
10 years since he smashed it at the Olympics, by the way. Time is a flat circle. What a legend.
Yeah, he offers Carter a spot in the family, in the factory.
In the family.
In the family. And tells him to sleep on it.
But I got a boxer. That guy can hit hard. I got some guy that used to date Bailey. You see her at SummerSlam? She was goddamn awesome. This guy lost her.
I just got So You Want to Be a Boxer from Bugsy Malone stuck in my head.
Of course you do.
So you want to be a boxer in the golden ring.
That's your boss baby too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting real Bugsy Malone vibes off this, guys. You ever done the accent with Will Bourne? Well, let me sit you down and tell you a little story of Bugsy Malone.
Let me tell you when I played Fat Sam.
You're like, you know, Big Fat Quiz of the Year when Charles Dance reads like an autobiography. And they use his incredible, like, gravitas-laden voice to read, I don't know, say like Rebecca Vardy's and Colleen Rooney's.
Rebecca Vardy's autobiography.
Yeah, Colleen Rooney's tweet or something, whatever.
Well, let's give her a proper title, Wagatha Christie.
Like, this is now you. Let me take you back to the days of Fat Slam's Grand Slam Speakeasy.
yes, he said, sleep on it, but don't be sleeping with the fishes.
You should join the factory and get the gear back on again.
Yeah.
Call Two Dimes Carter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then it was time for Master versus Apprentice, Lee Moriarty versus Matt Sydal. I much prefer this version of Lee Moriarty, I've got to be honest. He wasn't messing about here. He was taking a piss from moment one.
Yeah.
He walked out and did the, like, piece of, my piece, right? Starts off, headbutt, straight away. Yeah. Brilliant. I've written in my notes here, Lee Moriarty turns heel. He didn't really turn heel. He already was heel at the start of this match. But I enjoyed watching the process.
Yeah.
Suplex on Sydal. Sydal comes back with a high knee because he's mint, obviously. Standing moonsault and a spinning kick as the show goes to break. When we come back, Moriarty brawls around ringside with Sydal to take control. He gets a near fall, does Moriarty, when we come back with a sunset flip. Hits Sydal with a short arm clothesline, but then Sydal comes back with the lightning spiral for a two count. Out comes Stokely Hathaway. White Seidel's got Moriarty knocked down. He's climbing up to the top. Moriarty gets up and starts selling an injured ankle to take the referee. Hathaway tries to interfere, gets involved with Seidel on the top rope, loses his glasses. But all this distraction allows Moriarty to recover. He knocks Seidel off the turnbuckle, hits a sort of DDT flatliner for a near fall, then puts him in the Border City stretch to get the submission victory and post-match officially turns heel by taking the card from Stokely Hathaway.
Yeah, this was the better way to do... This is the better way around in terms of the opponents to do this turn, wasn't it? Mm. Like, the better match on balance was last week against Dante Martin. But with Martin, Moriarty is kind of... there's an implied mutual respect there. Mm. Like, he's going to cheat at the end because the opportunity has presented itself. But up to that point, they're having this, like, competitive, like-for-like match.
This and I like the fact that they said on commentary, he was just saying that last week he lost a bit of balance.
Yeah.
He just grabbed the ropes to support himself. Like, we all know what you were doing.
Yeah, it was just good ring awareness at the time. This week, as you say, that wanton disrespect for everything Matt Seidel is informed the fact that you could do this heel turn throughout the body of the match. It wasn't just Stokely Hathaway comes in, there's the interference, there's the card. Oh my God! Pretty much from the off. It's like, Moriarty's made his choice.
Exactly. I was watching this, because I've always quite liked Moriarty, but yeah. I've always been a bit like, eh. Mm. This was officially...
Hey, you all right.
A big moment for the Adam Wilborn pat on the back, like the hair ruffling week for Lee Moriarty.
Great work.
This was... So in that sense, I was more, dare I say it, sports entertained by this match than I was the Dante Martin pro wrestling one last week. It's fine. It's character... It's all a bit just... things can be, like, this was good, but in no way did it surprise, shock, or enliven my senses.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The match played to the strengths of, like, Moriarty's ability to be a bit more cocky. Seidel's, like, a timeless, ageless veteran wrestler. Like,
so
really, like, a valuable asset to the roster in a lot of complaints and debates that can be had about how many people are on this roster. But some people are just there to perform roles like this, and Seidel is one of them. If you're, for the want of a better phrase, if your jobbers to the stars are as talented as Matt Seidel,
yes,
you've got a hell of a roster, right? If you can position your bottom rung of guys to be as good as he is, you're in a good position. And Moriarty is a better fit as the true proper member of Stokely Hathaway's group when he splits from Jade Cargill as well.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like we're headed there as well. So,
yeah.
Bro, I wasn't, like, jumping out my seat for any of this, but I was pleased with the developments.
Yeah, I like to see where they were putting the pieces on the chessboard sort of thing. We get a promo from Britt Baker. They're not worried about facing Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. Thunderstorm next week. And Britt Baker just stirs the pot a little bit by saying, I think it's interesting, Toni, that she's keeping the person who could probably take the title away from her most closest to her.
Good, that. Like, genuinely good. There is a... I know one of Sidgwick's pet peeves is women's tag matches for mythical rankings for a mythical division that doesn't exist because there are no titles at the end of it. Like, how and why do you have a women's tag team matches if there is no purpose to no kayfabe purpose for them to win or lose these matches? Here, Britt Baker has acknowledged that Thunderstorm are a unit and they're for real, and she's probably paranoid about Jamie Hayter a little bit. So how do you deal with that? You deflect completely and instead imply dissension on the other side. And now this match suddenly has a purpose and reason and thought behind it. And it may be short and it may be most likely going to go in one specific spot that we can all think of on Wednesday night. But I don't mind that they've at least put the thought in the first place.
Then it was time for the new Ring of Honor world champion, Claudio Castagnoli, to come out and be interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Castagnoli thanks the fans in a variety of different languages who chant, "You deserve it." He talks about this just being the beginning. And he also wants to bring out another member of the Combat Club, the Blackpool Combat Club, that is, who are holding a Ring of Honor title. That's the pure champion, Wheeler Yuta. But Chris Jericho, who's been moaning on commentary all night, like, "I've had enough of this." He gets on the mic and starts ranting about sports entertainment. And then Yuta just goes, "Oh, shut up. Shut up, you idiot." And he said, "Look, I'm mint. I'm great, me. I could easily beat you, Chris Jericho." Chris Jericho's apoplectic at this. Jericho's like, "Yo, you think you can beat me, do you? Go on then. Right, fine. Next week on Dynamite, let's have a match." And Yuta just went, "No, I'm all right."
So great. Noping Chris Jericho. Inspired.
But he was actually baiting him.
He was.
Yeah, because this got Jericho so fired up that he put his title shot on the line. Obviously, he's meant to be facing John Moxley at Quake at the Lake. Mm. But now, as a result of Yuta's baiting, he's put that on the line. So the winner of the match on Wednesday night will face Moxley at Quake at the Lake. The title's not on the line, is it? I didn't miss that. No. He's not putting the pure title on the line. So yeah, it was all to do with him just winding up Chris Jericho so much that he puts all of the things he owns on the line whilst Yuta risks nothing because he's outsmarted him.
Great, 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 great. AEW is still fundamentally the best wrestling company in the world, even after like an incredible SummerSlam full of Tractor and my favourite wrestler returning.
What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, or our SummerSlam review.
Great, great, great. Jericho's performance here was absolutely fantastic. It is the most sports entertainment thing to do, to be worked into, as you've said, putting up all of your stakes and getting nothing in return. Typically in WWE, baby faces do it. Like that's how stupid it is. But Chris Jericho is the perfect foil for this. Not only is he the perfect foil because he's the sports entertainment guy again, but the way he played this was absolutely fantastic as well. A bizarre, ranting old fool.
Like bruises and cuts and
completely lunatic, battered up from all his recent misadventures with Eddie Kingston.
Broke his own nose with a chair.
Yeah.
Like idiot. Just,
like a figure of complete comedy and chaos in equal measures, just like completely losing it as if he was, I don't know, his own wife at the Capitol. Just like, it was just an inspired play from Chris Jericho here that then was bounced perfectly off deadpan Wheeler Yuta, who has got all the confidence of a man not only backed up by the hardest group in the world, but somebody that is himself now a member of the hardest group and can be as hard and should have the confidence to think he can beat Chris Jericho. Why would he not? Like, he's in the form of his life. He's in the run of his career. Why would he not think he can beat Chris Jericho? And what this does is, and I don't think it's going to happen, but it adds tremendous heat to the match on Wednesday night on Dynamite. Like, we're going to obviously go talk about this in the preview a lot more later in the week. But what a fantastic hook to hang over a match that would otherwise, like, let's say that you just get the graphic. Tonight, on like this week on Dynamite, it's going to be Chris Jericho and Wheeler Yuta. Like, that's pretty cool. That's a curtain raiser for Jericho and Moxley. And they say, oh, it's going to be Yuta Moxley. And they're like legacy rivals. They're mates now in a stable. Mm-hmm. But we all know that one of these days, Yuta's going to fight Moxley. And it's going to be the biggest, coolest thing ever.
The Yuta Mox 4, would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's never beat him. So, like...
It's getting closer.
It's basically replaced Darby and Cody, hasn't it?
Yeah.
As the same, roughly the same kind of story with the same sort of beat. And they've now dangled the carrot of that in a match that is would have otherwise been completely predictable or indeed pointless as Jericho... It's going to be Jericho Moxley. That's where we're headed.
Yes.
Quake at the Lake. Brilliant. This is AEW's still the best. But loads more of this, please.
We got a rap video from the Acclaim next. I'm not going to do it justice. Trash Day is what it's called. And it sets up the fact that on Wednesday we get a dumpster match.
Yeah. Pretty great. I didn't think much of the rap. Did we review the rap battle together?
Possibly.
In Moria. I just didn't think it was very good. Right. I wasn't hugely into the rap battle. And I'm slightly worried about the Acclaim as baby faces if, like, Max Caster's... That's like 2 weeks in a row where I thought, but a dumpster match, again, absolutely inspired. Like, it's not a very famous stipulation, but one of the only famous iterations is the Outlaws, and Billy Gunn is right there, and they're having a dumpster match. It's trash. It's going to, like, the visual is going to be really impressive as well. And the ass
My
points.
Only concern is, you know, the elephant in the room with all this.
What's that? Oh.
Or the dog in the room, I should say.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say, you kept all the ass boys in the bin. No, you can't hire a road dog.
That's the end of the sentence.
End sentence.
We have back and forth before the main event between Ruby Soho and Anna Jay. I love Anna Jay calling herself Anna Jay. I don't know why I get surprised by it every time.
Yeah.
Ruby Soho's furious, and effectively they say, make sure none of your bloody idiot mates who are stood behind you get involved in this. Mm-hmm. And Mark Henry says, well, looks like it's one-on-one, and... It gets so much longer every time I play that.
It does, especially watching you mouth the words along.
Anna Jay got named Chris Jericho Sports Entertainer of the Week.
Good.
And Anna Jay basically, throughout this match, targets Soho's injured hand, of course, that's been injured by the JAS. Well, Tay Conti specifically, I should say. Soho was doing a handstand on the top rope, and then Anna Jay just kicked it.
Yes. Oof,
look like rough that did. We go to a break. When we come back, Anna Jay rips the brace off Soho's injured hand and just tortures her with it. But Soho fights back, reverses her grip on suplex because she can't do it with her injured hand. Uses the other grip, does it, nails it. She keeps selling the wrist, though, and Jay continues to work it over. Soho goes for Destination Unknown, but Jay nicely counters into a gory special for a near fall. Jay goes for the Queen Slayer choke, but Soho counters that up really well with a roll-up, so she has to release it. And Soho hits No Future out of nowhere, goes for a senton, but Anna Jay dodged it, and she takes off her things on her. I was watching this going, oh, this is going to be rubbish in terms of the fact that Anna Jay's going to lose because you can't have Ruby Soho lose again. Mm. And Anna Jay's just going to have all the wind taken out of her sail. So at this point, I'm going, oh, here we go. Anna Jay takes off her wristbands, hand guards, whatever you want to call them, chucks them to the ground. Aubrey Edwards gets distracted, getting rid of them. Now, you just don't, I did not see this coming. And Anna Jay uses this to grab the wrist brace, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. that Soho had lost earlier, hides that, and then uses it to choke the life out of Ruby Soho. She goes out. The referee calls it. Jericho applauds from the entranceway as the show goes off the air. I thought it was a great conclusion to the show.
Yeah, really good match. Anna Jay's had these in her before. Bizarrely, Ruby Soho hasn't. I think this was one of her stronger matches in AEW.
Yeah.
A point of that finish, by the way, after the bell rings, like Anna, she's so slick in getting rid, like disposing of the evidence at the exact right time. So even that was timed. Like there was a lot of precision gone into this and a lot of thought gone into it, which I really appreciated. I have spotted a trend in, because this was an NXT thing as well, and it happened recently on a Raw, and I cannot for the life of me remember the match. But do this more, right? This is going to sound like basics, fundamentals, but when there is a body part that is injured or wounded or whatever, it helps everybody, no matter if you're experienced, no matter if you're brand new, no matter if you're green, no matter if you shouldn't be on television, whatever, to just make the match almost exclusively that.
Yeah.
Like, the one big example that is in the front of my mind right now, because I can't think of another one, is the Mandy Rose, Roxanne Perez title match. Like, that's probably Mandy Rose's best title defense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't really one of them Roxanne Perez keeping the match together bits. It was like, right, well, there's the target. And we're just going to work and work and work and work that target because it's just natural sympathy. It's really easy. A baby face is a walking wounded and yet they're going into battle anyway. And I thought they played with that fantastically well in this. At no point did Anna Jay not really have her eyes on that specific prize. And then when push came to shove, like she uses it as a way to cheat at the end to get the win as well. Like Ruby Soho has simply got too much guile and guts and babyface drive to lose the way that Anna Jay would like to beat her, so she goes down that route instead. I don't just have to attack it. I can use it against her, and I can show that I've got more about me mentally as well as physically. And I was really, really impressed, not just with the work, which was good and solid and together, but also the thought and agenting that went into the match. This Anna Jay repackaging is like an instant hit.
Yeah.
I feel good about this immediately. We're going to see presumably more from TJ, and they were just coming together. Their chemistry was just peaking right around the time that instead they like forced Ty Conti to be the girlfriend and nothing more.
Yeah.
To get them working tag matches again. Like in the same way that Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter have, you can set things up with team matches. So yeah, really, really impressed with this. Genuinely so. And I don't mean that to like sound condescending.
No,
the two of them haven't had like so this raft of amazing singles matches that you would have necessarily expected it to deliver. So like in that sense, it was like a real over delivery and a real achievement. A great night for both of them.
Yeah, nice ending to the show as well. Let us know your thoughts on AEW Rampage on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at M Sidgwick and get your hands on his brilliant book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW on Amazon right now. A great holiday read. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be previewing Dynamite later on this week and reviewing it, of course. Already out today is our SummerSlam review, and later on today we'll be looking ahead to Monday Night Raw. But for now, this has been the Rampage review. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.